From the campus of Jacksonville State University in Jacksonville, Alabama, this is 91.9 FM WLJS Jacksonville. We're the campus radio station of Jacksonville State University, serving the campus and all of the surrounding communities in East Alabama.
Wilson saw it coming. Come on, you know he did. Why else did he take off the running? Why else would he still be here? And where else would he go these days? There's only one place left. He's up in the Osage. I bet he's scared to death. Now I know you know Wilson. You don't know him like I do. And if you think he come easy, well, I guess that's up to you. But I think you got your hands full. Think you're in over your head. I think you ought to just cool your heels and live a while instead. And him go way back. I remember when he was so young and innocent. Everybody's a friend. And then you sons of bitches, you came here pushing everybody around. You kept pushing Wilson till you finally knocked him down. Maybe you really don't get it. You're just a boy, you're not a man. But they sent you out chasing an old coyote with a rattlesnake in your hand. Hey, you wanna know if I think he did it? It don't matter if I do. Something was bound to happen. You're just lucky that it wasn't you. You gotta get back in your big black car. Turn your radio on. Call out to your bosses. Tell him that he's long gone. You can tell him the trail ran cold or something. Tell him there's some kind of law. Tell him that he's already made it clean to Arkansas. After that you get on your knees. Pray that he don't come back. Then you ask the Lord's forgiveness for losing Wilson's
Good evening to all of our listeners out there from 91.9 FM WLJS. I'm Abby Parks, your host, and you're now listening to the Folk Renaissance Radio Show. That song you were just hearing is called Wilson's Tracks from Kevin Welch's 2003 album Live Down Here on Earth. Tonight I am thrilled to be airing a pre-recorded interview with Kevin Welch. I had the honor of meeting him last week before he conducted a songwriting workshop and performed in a house concert in Birmingham, Alabama. He's had a great songwriting career, which started in Nashville in 1978. He's written songs that have been recorded by artists like The Highwaymen, Roger Miller, Reba McEntire, Trisha Yearwood, Garth Brooks, Ricky Skaggs, and The Judds. He also started a record label in 1995 along with Kieran Kane, Tammy Rogers, Mike Henderson, and Harry Stinson, called the Dead Reckoning Records. They released 21 records over the next 7 years, toured individually, and also together as a collective called A Night of Reckoning, and that was with Fats Kaplan and Alison Prestwood, also part of that, throughout the U.S., U.K., Ireland, Europe, and Canada. He has also since moved to Austin, Texas, and now he conducts songwriting workshops, performs solo and with various artists, including his own son, and is featured and is a featured artist singing the title track to the album Looking Into You, a tribute to Jackson Browne. So we touched on a lot of subjects in this interview, and I'll also be playing some of his songs in between. This is really going to be cool, so y'all please stay tuned for the next 45 minutes or so. So I'm going to start the interview now. Here we go.
I'm here today in Birmingham, Alabama with Kevin Welch, who in my mind is a legendary songwriter and musician in the country music industry. He's passing through the Magic City and has given a songwriting workshop late this afternoon and then performing in a house concert hosted by Jay and Leanna Randall. Good to be here with you today, Kevin. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm glad to be back in Birmingham.
Yeah, you came down from Nashville, right?
Yeah, I came over from Austin to Nashville to play a benefit for the NSAI last night at Station Inn, and had a nice reunion with some old friends, and that was really nice. And then just skated on down here this afternoon, and glad to be here.
Cool. Well, I wanted to talk to you about your history with Sony and Tree. You have a wonderful list of credits of artists have cut you, like Trisha Yearwood, Reba McEntire, the Judds, Linda Ronstadt, Waylon Jennings, and the Highwaymen. What brought you into the world of writing country music in the first place?
Well, it was a gig, actually. I wasn't really writing country music, certainly not mainstream radio style country music. Of course, I was just a kid at the time anyway, but I was kind of more interested in older country styles and Appalachian music and bluegrass music and rock and roll and that sort of stuff. Yeah. But I had a chance to start working for that company that you mentioned, which at the time was just called Tree.
Mm-hmm.
They were an independently owned big country music publisher. So I had to really hustle to try to figure out what the deal was with country songs, what made them work, and so forth. I had a bunch of really good teachers there, older guys who had long, impressive track records, and who were really kind and generous with their knowledge with all of us young guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I stayed with those guys for about 15 years, and they didn't put too much pressure on me to conform or anything. I did try.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to write those kinds of songs. I wasn't very good at it. But every now and then I'd get lucky and something would sneak through, you know, all the traps and so forth and get out there. And I was able to raise my kids and pay the bills and all that stuff.
Cool. What do you value most about that aspect of your career?
Well, like I said, I was able to feed my kids. That was
that's very important.
That was a big part of it. It was just, like I said, it was a really good school, too. Very good 15-year-long pencil sharpening exercise. Learned a whole lot about the craft side. You know, songwriting, it's an art. Steve Earle once referred to it as art with a little A. And I like that, but it's art and it's craft, and they're both very important.
Yeah.
So
that's true. In your own personal preference, do you prefer teaching workshops or the writing aspect of it, or do you enjoy most performing live, your musical outlet?
It depends on which muscle I'm needing to either flex or work, you know. The teaching it is fascinating to me, just the exploration of sort of function and I don't know. I always was interested in that stuff, and I always liked talking to other songwriters about why they made certain decisions in certain songs and so forth. But a lot of times you couldn't get a songwriter to really talk about it, and it's because it requires thinking about it. Because a lot of what you do is sort of instinctual, right? And you just kind of something tells you, no, it shouldn't be this, it ought to be that. So you do that. And but when you really kind of start boiling it down, you still run into times when you just have to kind of go with your gut. But a lot of times, you really start looking at structural stuff, and it's like architecture or something. Mm-hmm. It's really fascinating to me. So I love teaching it, but it's hard to find anything that's as much fun as performing.
Yeah.
Unless you're, you know, 28 days into a 30-day tour or something. Then there's a lot of things that sound like fun at that point.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have any good traveling stories? A story, something that just happened crazy? Or?
Oh, no. No, I've only been traveling 35 years. So. Nah, not really.
Well, that's good. You didn't arrive at the airport and find your guitar crushed in the case or anything.
You know, I think at one time or another, I probably had it all happen to me. Yeah, I mean, actually, my guitar, 6 times I've taken my guitar out of the case over the years from a flight and to find the headstock snapped off.
Wow. So, yeah. That hurts.
You get out there, you know, and it's all going to happen to you at some point.
Yeah.
It's true. Okay, well, that was a portion of the interview, and I decided to mostly feature songs that Kevin actually played at the house concert because his stories are so interesting, and they go well with the song. So that's something I really enjoy. When I hear a really good songwriter, I like the stories that are behind the songs. And in this next song I'm about to play for y'all, Kevin talked about a tiny cattle and wheat town he used to visit in southern Oklahoma to see a family he knew. And in the town, there was this old man. There was an old two-story hotel, and on the front porch, he always saw this old man sitting out there when he would pass through town. And the man was always sitting by himself. And then Kevin asked one day about him, and he found out that this old man's name was Flycatcher Jack. Isn't that cool? That right there is material for a story. But anyway, one year Kevin passed through and he saw a bunch of migrant workers on the porch and in front of the hotel, and Flycatcher Jack was sitting right in the middle of them all talking and having a blast. But then next time Kevin came through town, the old man was sitting on the porch alone again. So he wrote a song based on what he kind of thought Flycatcher Jack's story was, and I'm going to play this for you now, and it's called Flycatcher Jack and the Whippoorwill Song, and this is off of his 2004 album You Can't Save Everybody, and this was performed by him with the band Kane Welch Kaplan.
Wind is warm as mother's milk, steady as a siren. Though my whiskers smell of soap, my pistol smells of iron. This front porch is higher than the rest of this poor town. I piss every day away, watch the sun go. If I was a gambling man the way I used to be, those downtown gals would gather round just to watch the likes of me. Those lazy bones would tumble, those lazy bones would roll. I'd pick out my downtown gal and give her all my gold. Hey, hey, Whippoorwill sings all kinds of foolish things. All I know is if I had wings, I'd be gone by now. Now once a year, this old hotel fills up at harvest time. Mexicans and gypsy kids, mostly friends of mine. They all come in at sundown, fill my whiskey glass, sit and sing a song. In the old days I worked with them, I worked till the work was done. The crew we had back in those days, we were always number one. Northward with the season, southward in the fall, till I got hurt in the oil patch. Boys, I had it all. Hey, hey, whippoorwill saints, all kinds of crazy things. All I know is if I had wings, I'd be gone by crop came in. Nothing moves on Main Street now but an Oklahoma wind. I am just a shadow of the man I used to be, and I wish I had someone to sing the long black veil with me. Hey, hey, whippoorwill sings, all kinds of crazy. All I know is if I had wings, I'd be gone by now. Hey, hey, whippoorwill sings, all kinds of foolish things. All I know is if I had wings, I'd be gone by now.
Your songwriting workshops, I think you have them actually in your home in Austin. What would a person expect from that experience if they signed up for one?
So they move around a little bit, but they're fairly established now. I've been doing this for about 3 years, usually maybe 8 of them a year. Most of them at my home. I did just do a whole string of them through New Zealand and Australia. Those were different. And I do have one coming up with Eliza Gilkison and my son Dustin in early July at Eliza's place in Taos.
Okay.
But the thing at my place, it's a little log cabin, and it's a big log house, and it sits out in the middle of the woods. And it's really quiet out there. And usually it's a half a dozen people, sometimes as many as 10, sometimes as few as 4. People get there on a Thursday for dinner time, and we all gather around. Everybody gets to know each other, and we figure out everybody's quarters and so forth. And we sit up, and we have a couple of cold ones, and we play some songs for each other. Then the real work starts Friday morning. And they have to listen to me talk for a while. And then everybody gets to work, and I just kind of go around and bother everybody. Same deal Friday night, then we get up and we hit it again Saturday, work all day Saturday up until Saturday night till everybody's brains are just sizzled. And then Sunday we go across the road and down this Caliche Road down to the river, and we have an outdoor stage.
Oh, wow.
And all the neighborhood and whole community turns out. There's about 80-100 people.
Wow, that sounds really nice.
So, the writers can get up and you know, play a couple of songs. And in the little town that we live in, Wimberley, there are a lot of old pros who live there also. Ray Wiley Hubbard is right across the road from me. Hal Ketchum just moved into town. And just a bunch of great players. So, Susan Gibson is in town, Slade Cleaves. So, we get local people to come out. Susan and Slade haven't been out there yet, but they will be. They just don't know that because I haven't told them yet. And that's how we end the thing off. We just come a Sunday afternoon potluck down by the river.
Cool.
And it's really quite moving.
Sounds very rustic and. If you could choose one most important bit of advice or information that you want to leave with your students when they go from your place, what is it? What do you think's a really important point you want to drive home to your students on songwriting?
Awareness is kind of the cornerstone of what I'm trying to tell people. Like, really, 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 really pay attention to what you're doing. And maybe not necessarily when it's first beginning to happen, but as you go back to rewrite and edit and so forth, you know, make sure that every single word that's in there is there for a reason, mm-hmm. and that there's nothing laying around in there taking up space that doesn't need to be in there.
Yeah, yeah, that's good advice.
That's kind of where it starts.
Yeah. I saw that you were at the Folk Alliance Conference in Kansas City this year.
Mm-hmm.
They've moved it there, and I know that they did a winter camp as well. Were you doing a workshop there? And I saw a comment where you said it was the best one you'd been to.
Overall, I thought that Folk Alliance was the best one that I've been to, yeah. And I don't know that that's because it's not in Memphis, instead it's in Kansas City. I don't think that's it. I'm not really sure what were all the ingredients that went towards making it so good, but I don't know. Kansas City seems to be a good fit for it, though. I'll say that.
It's a really good central location.
It is, yeah.
I know that much. Were you part of the winter camp?
No.
No? Okay. Okay.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, well, yeah, they had something going on where there were people instructing on songwriting and instruments and all that. So you were a performer there this year?
Yeah. Yeah, we had one thing that was called a songwriter's workshop, but I wouldn't really call it that at all. It was, nah.
I've been to the one in Memphis before, and it's very hectic and so many things going on at once.
Yeah.
It could be overwhelming. You relocated to Austin in, was it 2008?
That sounds
Nashville?
Right. Yeah.
How, in your opinion, does the Austin music scene or sound differ from the Nashville scene or sound?
Quite a bit, in a lot of ways. You know, I haven't been checking out the live scene in Nashville since I went down to Austin. For that matter, I don't check out the live scene in Austin that much. Because, like I said, I live out in the woods. I don't really want to go into town very much.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's kind of apples and oranges in a way. And at the same time, it's also the same thing. It's you know, people with bands and dreams and songs and looking for a gig. And so the ways in which those things happen, there are some differences, but generally I think the goals are the same.
Yeah.
Nashville is, of course, you know, it's going to be a little glitzier, but not in all corners. You know, Nashville's got a, you know, very interesting alt scene, kind of over on the other side of the Cumberland River. The whole East Nashville deal has absolutely nothing to do with mainstream country radio, certainly.
Okay.
There's a, you know, great young generation, too, of, you know, kind of, you know, mountain hippie kids that are, you know, just killing it. And they
that's
have
true.
Giant support. So that's cool to see that particular generation, you know, kind of playing really rock and bluegrass music and doing the hippie dance. It's really, it makes me happy to see that.
It does me too, and I like playing a lot of those bands. You know, some of them seem to be a little more in touch with traditional folk and folk sounds than, you know.
And as usual, there are these, like, brilliant wizard kids that just kind of keep popping up that are actual, like, traditional bluegrass players that just blow your face off. So that keeps happening. I think we're in pretty good shape, really. I mean, it's always been painful to look at the mainstream and to kind of drag yourself through what's going on there. And that's regardless of what generation you're from, or for that matter, what genre you're listening to, right?
Right.
All genres suck. And at the same time, all genres will have moments of true brilliance and inspiration and It's just the way it is. And it, we go through times when it gets a little harder to bear and then a little easier to bear. And then a little, you know what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
It's just, you know, the beat goes on.
Yeah, that's true.
Alrighty, well, that was another portion of the interview with Kevin Welch. We're featuring this for the next 20 to 30 minutes. I thought that was interesting how he said the mainstream music industry is always painful to watch what's going on. So true. I definitely like the more the indies and, you know, looking at the grassroots and underground music scene than getting too excited over what's being pushed by big business moguls. Anyway, the next song I'm going to play for y'all was performed by Kevin at the house concert I attended. He told the story of a personal friend, a Kiowa Indian from Oklahoma named T.C. Cannon, who he had met as a teen. And T.C. Cannon was a prominent Native American painter and had already had his own work featured in the Smithsonian Institute by the age of 19. So Kevin was saying that one day T.C. had a vision of how he would die, and he wrote a poem about it and gave it to a friend of his who held on to it for a few years. And so several years later, T.C. Cannon was riding in the rain in Santa Fe and rolled his pickup truck and unfortunately was killed. And all the circumstances surrounding that event were part of his poem, so that's really kind of a weird you know, spiritual experience that happened for him. But anyway, Kevin was approached about writing a song for a documentary being made about T.C. Cannon and a school he had started for Native American children in Santa Fe. Then this friend of T.C., who had the poem, gave Kevin the poem, and then Kevin used it as well as the story he'd heard as a basis for this song. So this next song I'm going to play is called Early Summer Rain, from the album The Best of Mountain Stage Live, Volume 5.
Spreading his wings again, the
Me and him, we're gonna take a little ride. Hope we catch a good tailwind. Take me to the Purple Mountain, where nobody knows my name. Yeah. Out where it gets lonesome in the early summer rain. Storms upon the ridges, there's a silver tear in my eye. All I know is you, my friend, will not see my pain. Out where it gets lonesome in the early summer rain.
To be doing a new project with your son. Is this going to be an album? And
yeah, all we're doing right now is we're planning to go in the studio in Copenhagen in I want to say August. So what we're doing now is we're just out stomping around playing a whole lot of gigs and just developing the sound, just working on it, and little stuff like, you know, working on our gear and what kind of, you know, how we want the instruments to sound, and of course the songs themselves. And he's very songed up. He's got a ton of really killer tunes right now.
Oh yeah.
And so
is it
going to
be predominantly his songs?
You know, maybe I'm starting to kind of lean that way, because the songs that I've got, I'm not really in total charge of what songs I write necessarily, and so the stuff that's been showing up. For my songs, I don't think they really fit with the, the kind of emerging ideas that we have of what this project should do.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. There's time between now and August. Who knows? I might think three or four things might fall out, and all of a sudden I'm, you know, back in there. So, but if not, it'll be predominantly Dustin's thing, and I'll just help produce, and I'll play guitar and
yeah.
that sort of thing. And
yeah.
as long as the work gets done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. I wanted to ask you about the new compilation album, Looking Into You, a tribute to Jackson Browne. I'm a big Jackson Browne fan, and you're actually singing the title track, Looking Into You.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you choose that song, or was it chosen for you, and...
I was asked to do that particular song.
Okay.
By the executive producer, Kelsey Warren. And he specifically wanted it to be me singing with a particular piano player who were all crazy about, Radoslav. And he kind of wanted it just to be me and Rad. And so we went in and did that, and, you know, it just kind of laid there. So Rad came back down from Chicago again, and we did it again, and it was much better. But I still wasn't quite finished, so I brought it to Nashville, and I got the McCrary sisters to sing on it. Wonderful family of singers, gospel singers. And then I had Red Young, who's this incredible piano player, Hammond organ player. Had him play just a nice, simple pass on it. So yeah, I was just kind of responding to Kelsey's request on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's a really good collection, that record.
It is. I really am enjoyed, you know, the variety. And it's funny how some of the voices sound like Jackson. Like, well, I love it to me. I almost couldn't tell the difference a little bit at times with his voice and singing Rosie and stuff like that.
You know, my experience with that, because I had never tried to sing any of Jackson's stuff. I've just been a fan like you, you know, like all of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I first sat down to try to sing Looking Into You, I went, uh-oh, I don't think I can sing this.
Really?
It sounds really easy when he's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Man, when I started trying to make it come out of my mouth, it was. I was a long way from home. I really had to think it through for a while.
Yeah.
So, of course, but, you know, Lyle, man, he's that guy. He's just so good, and he's very, very meticulous. He's another guy that makes things sound really, really easy. But Lyle's paying attention, really close attention to what he's doing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I have to ask him, was that easy? Did this dude just open your mouth and it came out like that? Or
yeah. Were you all kind of separate on your projects within the project? Or did you get to mix with the other artists?
You know, like when we did the Guy Clark tribute record, that was very central in that there was sort of a house band, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody went to a studio in Austin, or everybody went to a studio in Nashville. They were the same band. And with this project, though, it was more like everybody went off and to their own camps, you know, did their work, sent it in. I think that they were all mixed by, I think everybody mixed their own, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't swear to that. That mm-hmm. might have come into the centralized you know, brain in the middle of the whole deal.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Hey, if you're just tuning in, this is the Folk Renaissance Radio Show. You can go to www.folkrenaissance.com and check out some of the articles. I hope within the next few weeks to post this interview as well as the one with Kate Campbell in its own separate little post with a player where you can actually go back and hear the show. So stay tuned for that. I'll let y'all know when that all comes about. But for those of you just tuning in, this is an interview I did with Kevin Welch last weekend at Birmingham at a house concert. He was passing through town. And that was Kevin just now discussing his contribution to the album Looking Into You, a tribute to Jackson Brown. And as y'all know already, who've tuned in lately, I've been playing songs off of that particular album for several weeks. Crazy about the album. Now I'm going to spin the title track for you, which Kevin Welch sang, and this is Looking Into You.
To a house I once lived in, around the time I first went on my own, when the roads were as many as the places I had dreamed of, and my friends and I were one. Now the distance is done, yeah, the search has begun. I've come to see where my beginnings have gone. Where the walls and the windows were still standing, and the music door with the people who kindly endured my odd questions, asked if I'd come very far. And when my silence replied, where they took me inside, where the children sat playing on the floor, where we spoke of the changes that would find us farther on. And it left me so warm and so high. But as I step back outside to the gray morning sun, I heard that highway whisper and sigh, are you ready to fly? And I looked into the faces all passing by. It's an ocean that will never be filled, and the house that grows older and finally crumbles, that even love cannot rebuild. It's a hotel at best. You're here as a guest. You ought to make yourself at home while you're waiting for the rest. Well, I looked into the dream of the millions that one day the search will be through. Now here I stand at the edge of my embattled illusions, looking into you.
Question. It's about your the band you're with, Kane Welch Kaplan. I noticed your last release was live at the Bluebird Cafe. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be doing any more projects with them soon? Do you have any more plans?
Nothing coming up. You know, we've kind of, we're all out doing other stuff. Fats went off with Jack White and Buddy and Jim, you know, Buddy Miller and Jim Lauderdale. And Kieran is painting and hanging out at the Lake of New York. And
yeah.
So what we have agreed to do is we will at least meet once a year in San Francisco and play the Hardly Strictly Bluegrass Festival.
Oh, cool.
And that can be our little get-together and reunion thing. And So as far as if we'll do something else, I really have no idea.
Yeah.
I love those guys, and I love what happens when we play together.
Yeah, I was wondering, how does your sound differ when you're with them as opposed to when you're doing your own solo projects?
Yeah, there's a difference, because with Kane Loves Kaplan, we were definitely on a sonic quest. You know, we were deliberately trying to pare things down into fewer and fewer pieces that made more and more noise, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's a good way to describe that or not, but toward the end there, we were getting to where there'd be maybe two drums, and Fats would be playing, oud or mandolin or something, and I'd be playing the guitar, whatever. You know, we were trying to, we were using as much space as we possibly could, kind of using that space as another instrument.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really interesting and very much a learning experience. And we made some sort of large sounding records with hardly anything.
Wow.
Really, that's kind of the physics of the thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the last time I made a record, this The Patch of Blue Sky, I was just kind of interested in making just a good old fashioned full band. You know, we never had, for instance, bass on any of the Kane Loves Kaplan records.
Mm, yeah.
And they were all recorded and mixed, including pre-production and everything, in 3 days.
Wow.
At the end of the third
day,
it's
kind of organic.
They were done, yeah. We just get in there and go.
Mm-hmm.
This last record I made, I kind of wanted to go back, just to kind of go back and touch bass, you know, make a record with bass and drums and Hammond organ and electric guitars. And
yeah.
And it was really fun.
Yeah.
My next record is going to be different from that. I think it's going to be radically different. But
do you know how so?
I think I do.
Yeah. it was funny because I was listening on the way up here, and come the rain, and it started raining.
Started,
and the rain stopped when the song ended. I almost thought that was a sign in the heavens or something. But that's a really cool song. What was your inspiration behind that, just labeling all these different famous people from the past? I liked how Houdini is a rascal.
Yeah. I like a lot of those little comments. So it started because Dustin, my son, said, I think if Woody Guthrie were alive today, he would probably be in a punk band. And it got me thinking about, okay, what do I really think about when I think about Leonardo? What do I really think? Well, I think he's like an alien, you know? Just for instance, you know, Django Reinhardt, well, I think he was a miracle. Yeah, and just went down there, but I had to actually stop and think instead of just what is it that we think, what are we told to think?
Yeah.
All the stories that we agree upon. I say, I think Gandhi was a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
I think Hendrix was a monk. But these are the things that if I had to actually ask myself, well, what do I actually think about these people? So I was writing it, but I didn't know why I was writing it and what it added up to or what purpose there could be behind the song. And then I saw Honey Boo Boo. And then the whole thing just kind of fell into place.
That's great. Yeah, and you ended up calling Jesus the punk, didn't you?
No, I said Jesus was a pagan because... And I looked it up just to kind of double-check, and this definition that I looked up said that this is someone who's operating outside of the normal accepted,
mm-hmm.
Cultural religious parameters or whatever, however they said that. And I thought, yeah, I believe he qualified for that. Now, I've talked to my uncle, who's a theologian, about that, and he disagrees with me. He said that he actually feels that Jesus was actually pretty by the book rabbi, but he was just maybe perhaps more strict or something. I don't know. So anyway, there's obviously going to be all kinds of opinions about that,
right?
But I thought it might. I just kind of felt personally comfortable saying that.
Yeah, within the context and everything else going on there, I could see how.
Okay, well, that was another part of the interview. I'm going to play the song that we were just talking about, me and Kevin, which is called Come a Rain, and I've become convinced that this song is some kind of rain dance or something, because in case y'all in the area didn't look outside today, it was raining, and I was wrapping up working on the interview this afternoon, and I happened to look out the window, and it was just pouring, and I'm like, this is really ironic. But anyway, Kevin's latest solo album that he did is called A Patch of Blue Sky, and this is the first track off of the album. It's a really great song, and it's called Come a Rain.
Jesus was a pagan, but he was a punk. Gandhi was a soldier, Hendrix was a monk. Leonardo was an alien, Plato was a scream. Vincent was a flower child, and Elvis was a dream. Kurosawa was a samurai, Achilles was a gimp. Django was a miracle, Rasputin was a pimp. Piaf was a siren, Callis was the sea. Martin was a king on earth in all his majesty. Come a rain, come a rain now. Come a rain. Joker, Kafka was a spook. Rumi was a homie, Bukowski was a duke. Fellini was a scientist, Dante was a thug. Buddha was a cowboy, Amelia was a stud.
Come a rain, come a rain, come a rain. have one more question for you. I know you have a lot going on this afternoon. If you could travel in time and have the opportunity to visit any musician or music scene in history, where would you go and who would you want to meet?
Wow. Yeah, that's a large one.
In 30 seconds, I'm just joking.
Yeah. God, I don't know.
Is there somebody you wish you could meet, a musician?
Well, there's just millions of those, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to be in, you know, in Paris in the early part of the 20th century, for instance, or France anyway, that jazz scene that was going on then, and then really throughout the next number of decades, all the cats that were, you know, I'd like to be able to go to a Thelonious Monk show.
Yeah.
For instance, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just all these people that were breaking, just sort of shattering and all the boundaries and reinventing all this stuff. To be there the night that the first time you hear that, it's like when I was a kid, you know, the first time we heard Hendrix play, for instance, or...
Yeah.
That sort of thing. I haven't had that experience for a long time, and I'm not sure that really any of us have.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm kind of hungry for that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think almost with media and just the way things are in this generation, everything's almost overwhelming. It's like you're being invaded from all sides sometimes with sound and things. It's almost like a squirrel, you know. It's hard to focus, I think, for people now.
Certainly is for me, and I just kind of tuck in to my own little bubble, so I'm sure that there's plenty that I'm missing out on.
Yeah, well, we can't take it all in, can we?
Apparently not.
Well, I wanted to thank you so much for your time today, and I can't wait for your concert tonight. For our listeners, if you want to know more about Kevin, you can visit kevinwelch.com, as well as thedeadreckoners.com if you want to purchase music from Kane Welch Kaplan and other projects put out by his label. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Nice talking to you.
Okay.
Well, that concludes the interview I had with Kevin Welch. And you heard the information there at the end. Please go out and visit kevinwelch.com and look him up on Facebook as well. He's there and I'm sure all over the internet. But I'm going to play one more tune as we're leading out of this segment of the show, and then we're going to go back to just listening to some regular songs. Please stay tuned for more great folk music on the way. We've got the Ivies, new music by the Ivies, Patty Mills, Katie Glassman, Cozy Sheridan. So a lot of good stuff on the way. But the last song I'm going to play for you is also off of the album A Patch of Blue Sky, and it's called Marysville. I particularly take to this song, so I think y'all will enjoy it too. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
I'm a stranger wherever I go, but I see what I see and I know what I know. The winds of heaven gonna do what they will. They just blew away pretty little Mary's veil. The people around here did the best they could. By the time they saw it coming up over these hills, it was too late for getting out of Mary's will. Sisters, husbands and wives, the fire took them one out of every fire. Their spirits hover all around the street. I'm a stranger wherever I go. But I see what I see, and I know what I know.
From the campus of Jacksonville State University in Jacksonville, Alabama, you are listening to 91.9 FM WLJS.
I want true love, I need honesty. I want happiness and harmony. I want open arms, give it all to me. I want true love, I need honesty. Slam the door and go for a walk. So much to say, but we can't talk. Making wounds if we don't stop. All our dreams will soon be lost. I want true love, I need honesty. I want happiness and harmony. I want open arms, give it all to me. I want true love, I need honesty. I say words that you don't feel. You say things I know ain't real. Maybe we can. Give it all to me. I want true love. I need honor.